she was forced to resign. Liz McGill, president of Penn, is white. The president of Harvard is black. The president of Harvard said the same thing when the same question was asked of her. But she didn't resign. In fact, 600 people signed a petition to keep her on. Where was the support for Liz McGill? Oh, she's got to resign. Not a peep about the president of Harvard. The double standard. Will that hurt our grandchildren? There's no qualification sometimes when these people get these positions. They just get them because, well, they fit the bill, you know, minority, women. Oh, yeah, okay. And maybe they're not cut out to be president of a university. But the white one resigns. The black one gets 600 people to sign a petition. And that's why I say, with all these things that I've mentioned, what kind of a world will my grandchildren live in? It is Talk with a Purpose every Saturday, 9 till noon, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. I'm John DeMasi, and we bring in the one and only Seth Grossman. Seth, Liberty and Prosperity, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Well, a good way to think of the kind of America we want to give our grandchildren is to look at the America that our grandparents and parents gave us. And that's why that teaching calendar that we've been handing out lately is so important. We had 2,800 of those calendars. We only have 100 of them left. So you have basically 10% of the calendars.
Yes.
And we've been mailing them to Michigan, to Tennessee. People have been really thanking me for coming up with such a great Christmas gift. And, you know, we're asking for $2 donations, but if someone has a good home for a calendar where someone's going to read them, I'll read it, especially if they're under 20 years of age. You know, please do everything we can to just get them in the right hands. As far as anti-Semitism is concerned, I had a long talk with Harry on Thursday about what is causing this, this just explosion of anti-Semitism, which is just hatred of Jews for being Jews. And one of the biggest problems is not recognizing that the anti-Semitism today is not at all what the Democrats, what Jewish establishment leaders like the ADL and the Anti-Defamation League and the Stockton College professors, it's nothing at all what they are telling us to be, to look for and to fight against. And that big lie is that anti-Semitism is a product of right-wing conservative ignorance and hatred. Now, there's some of it, but the real truth is that this whole left-right continuum is total garbage, and it's taught as fact in our schools. That tells you, oh, well, the communists, the extreme communists on the left are Chairman Mao in North Korea, and the extreme right is Adolf Hitler and the KKK, when the truth is that you really have an American way of looking at the world and a socialist European way of looking at the world. And the American way of looking at the world is to love your neighbor as yourself, Bible-based Benjamin Franklin, that if you want something in life and you don't have it, you work harder, you think of ways to change your life, you deal with other people, and you take advantage of opportunities that are there. And there's a whole book, Steve Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, told you how to do that. The opposite of that is the socialist way, which is if there's something in your life that you're unhappy with, that you don't like, you wish you had more, blame it on somebody else. Be angry at somebody else for having more than you have and try to get even with them. And that started with the French Revolution. It started with then it continued with the Communist Manifesto. And really, socialism and anti-Semitism are both related because they're both based on the idea that instead of being a deadly sin, that envy is a virtue. You're entitled to things. Somebody took something from you. Somebody took something from your ancestors. You know, the Palestinians, Hamas, socialists, Black Lives Matter. It's all the same thing. Saying that envy is somehow a virtue, where that you can excuse it. And that's the one thing we talked about on Harry Hurley. on Thursday. But the other thing, Harry said, well, are Jews finally waking up and learning about the, you know, how they've been deceived by the left? Are they now figuring things out? And I have to be discouraged. The day after I did that program with Harry, we had a breakfast, the weekly bagel and coffee breakfast at the high rise in Atlantic City that I live in. And we had, you know, three nice couples, Jewish couples from Philadelphia, all Democrats. And they couldn't care less of what's going on as far as immigration or, you know, the takeover of our universities for this this hatred. All they were talking about was abortion, gay marriage, and how bad Trump was. And they don't want to hear about anything else. So I don't, and these are my fellow Jews. I don't know how to reach them, but maybe we could talk about that and figure out what to do.
Wow. What did you say when they said they didn't really care less about anything but, you know, abortion? How did you answer that?
I was flabbergasted. You know, I just tried to say, you know, there are other things going on in the world. I try to talk about, you know, that the whole abortion issue, it's not really that men trying to control women like the Handmaid's Tale. It's really about most of the pro-life movement, as we talk about often, is led by women in their 30s who had abortions and regret it. And it's really the men who are for abortions because they want to get out of paying child support. So, but it was just a conversation. I didn't want to ruin the breakfast, so I just moved on to other things. But I was just, it's a long battle. Once people get these ideas in their head, it's very tough for people to realize they've been wrong, they've been fooled, and it's going to be a painful process of deprogramming. So that's what we do every week at our Liberty and Prosperity Breakfast from 9:30 to 10:30 at Sal's. We have these discussions because all of us have friends and relatives who think that way, and we try to think of ways to reach them. So that's one thing going on. Other things going on, random stories. Of course, we have the road diet is now screwing up Atlantic Avenue in Atlantic City.
Oh, boy.
The way it already screwed up Atlantic Avenue in Margate, Longport, and the way it screwed up West Avenue in Ocean City. You have these federal officials just hate, you know, hate fossil fuels. They hate automobiles. They want to make it as difficult as possible to use a car to get from one place to another. And that's what they're doing. The local officials are so used to getting the federal government to pay to fix their roads that if the federal government tells them to do something, they just go along. You also have the Atlanta County Utilities Authority pushing this, you know, this woke climate agenda. But the problem is the ACUA, it's run by conservative Republican county executive and commissioners, but yet they're pursuing that radical left agenda anyway. That's a problem. They're having their free newspaper that they throw out every month telling all the wonderful things they're doing, which is pure propaganda, and we should not be letting them get away with it. That's something we'll talk about. Something that just came up that's our latest post in our Liberty and Prosperity website is about that new AtlanticCare LGBTQ care center. Have you heard much about that?
No, I haven't.
Well, it was their big story, but it was not in the local papers, but it's online everywhere, and we posted it to our Liberty and Prosperity site. So they had a big event to celebrate their 250th patient. And what AtlanticCare did, it set up this LGBTQ plus center right at the Stockton University campus in Atlantic City. And they're celebrating, again, having their 250th patient. And here and what's clear about it is that they're not really treating the disorder. They're really promoting business to create diseases. So it's promoting new businesses. It's targeting children, adolescents, and students. And it's using a new definition. They say, we're not going to call it gender identity disorder anymore. If a boy says he wants to be a girl, where a girl says she wants to be a boy, they're now calling it gender dysphoria. And the preferred treatment for this dysphoria is permanent chemical and drug treatments, meaning castration for boys, surgery to remove breasts from women. All this treatment is paid with taxes and mandatory health insurance rate increases. And because they promote the idea of doctor-patient confidentiality, this can be done to children and Stockton students without the parents having any idea that this is going on. I'm just flabbergasted reading this, and I don't want to comment because I don't know that much about the details. I'm just basing my knowledge on the press release they did to celebrate this new center being open for 2 months. You know, the fact that that the center is in Stockton University, so it's targeting young people.
Oh boy!
And when you start connecting the dots, you sort of see why we have Obamacare. You know, 15 years ago, Obama and the Democrats pushed to completely change our health insurance system, even though it was working for 95% of Americans. But they blew up the whole system, gave us this massive, more expensive federal government insurance. And when you say, well, why did they do it? I think it's now obvious. They wanted to give free medical care to illegal immigrants and free sex change operations. So why are transgenders so important? We'll be talking about this, but my theory is it all started with Jesse Jackson and his Rainbow Coalition in the 1980s. And that was a plan to break Americans into different groups who don't trust each other so that radical left Democrats could take control. So we had black militants, Hispanic militants, Muslim immigrants, feminist militants, and now we have transgenders. And how convenient, because that's the only way white boys can be part of this protected group of victims. You make them transgender, and then they're a victim, without having to be black or Hispanic or something. It's a very sick way of dividing people, but I really think that's what they're up to.
Oh man, that is a scary thought.
But it's so mainstream. And by the way, how does AtlantiCare get people into this center for LGBTQ plus to be channeled into it? Well, if you go to AtlantiCare now for anything, you know, you have a cold, you'll be asked to fill out this complicated questionnaire asking about sexual preference and this, you know, this and that.
Jeez.
So they're looking for people to say that. And let's face it, this almost reminds me when I was a teenager and I was insecure. And I didn't want to be Jewish. I thought my nose was too big. I was unpopular. I wanted to be somebody I'm not. So when you have teenagers, they're very, very vulnerable. Very often they're not accepted. And very often teenagers who are not accepted, instead of looking for ways to understand that they're jerks in this world, they say, well, there's something wrong with me. I have to change me. And this could be a psychological thing. But instead of looking at that way, it's like the healthcare system has a political agenda to steer vulnerable kids into this irreversible course of action. So I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist, but I think this affects everybody, and we'll be talking about that.
Oh boy, that is very scary, very scary.
So yeah, but meanwhile, on something else, last week I talked about Bible study and how Microsoft Windows, every time you turn it on, the start program steers you to the top news stories, and every week there are three or four stories bashing Christianity, bashing the Bible. Today, most young Americans, the only thing they know about the Bible are sort of passages taken out of context that show that people who in the Bible were hateful, intolerant people. But there was a time when everyone who was Jewish, Christian, any denomination was familiar with these Bible stories. They brought us together, and I just thought I'd mention that this week in every Jewish synagogue, we were doing the story of Joseph and his coat of many colors. Now, you and I probably know that story. Anyone under the age of 30 would have no idea what we're talking about.
Right.
But when you read that book of Joseph, it really goes against the whole woke narrative of racism and feminism that is taught to our kids every day. And I don't know how many of your listeners remember the story, but it starts out that Joseph, who's a Jew, and he's sold into slavery. And who sells him into slavery? Not people of another race, not people of another religion, not people from another nation. He's sold into slavery by his own brothers, because they're jealous of him. And that, you know, when you learn stories like that, you could relate to the psychology that it's not, you know, good and evil is not that there's a class of oppressors and a class of victims. There's good and evil in each individual, and we have to learn to recognize that. And so that's one element of the Joseph story. The other element, of course, kids today are taught that all women are victims of sexual harassment and control by patriarchal men. And whenever there's a claim of rape or sexual harassment, we're told to believe all women. Now, of course, the Bible story of Joseph, Joseph is a slave in the master's house, and the master, the wife, is trying to seduce Joseph. So, of course, Joseph is loyal to the master. He rejects the wife of his master, and she's angry, and she falsely accuses him of trying to rape her, and Joseph is arrested and thrown into prison. So here you have a Bible story talking about things that happen and have been going on for thousands of years. But yet, that I think now you see the real reason why they don't want any kind of Bible discussion or Christianity, because it gets people to think about things and put things in context and not swallow whatever political narrative they're teaching to our kids. So I thought I'd mention that.
Well, you certainly have an agenda today.
Okay. And just two things going on I'd like to mention. The Ocean City Sentinel, it seems every week they're talking about the need to have the government buy up land to create open space. Like that's going to protect us from, to preserve nature, and it sounds like a good idea. But what's really happening is we're having too many people pour into New Jersey with these illegal immigrants, and that's what's making things overcrowded. So if you don't deal with the immigration and your solution is you're going to buy up all this land, all you're going to do is we're going to be just as crowded, but you're going to be making everything expensive, but you're not going to be dealing with the real problem. So the real problem is immigration. We've got to stop it. It's illegal. For 50 years, from 1920 to 1965, we had limited immigration to 100,000 per year, and it worked. It allowed every immigrant who came to America had, you know, learned English, adopted our culture, and we had a wonderful country. Right now, all we're doing is we're importing what we call the third world, and we're turning ourselves into a third world country, and we're not really, you know, making things better by having people turn America into the country they're running away from. But we have to face up to that reality. And I guess the final point, and it's an interesting thing coming out of Israel, you know, it's very depressing. The war is now going on to its third month, and Israel appears to be serious about dealing with the problem instead of just, looking the other way. Well, these Wahhabi fanatics murdered 1,400 other people, so we're going to have a ceasefire, we'll negotiate a peace, and we'll have 5 or 6 years of being normal, and then they'll do it again. Instead, in Israel, there's a new expression that in Hebrew is sof sof anachnu midabrim Arabit, which means finally, finally, we're learning how to speak Arabic. And what that means is when these Wahhabis do this stuff in Arab countries, the Arab countries don't mess with them. You know, they fight them, they kill them, they arrest them, and they don't stop until they eliminated the problem. Only in Europe and America do we say, we'll negotiate, we'll have a ceasefire, we'll do all this stuff. And so finally the Jews of Israel are saying, you know, we tried it the European way, we tried it the American way, now we're going to handle this problem the way the Arabs would handle it. So that's why they have this expression in Israel. So now we're finally learning how to speak Arabic. So that's the thought. And now let's talk about this at our Liberty and Prosperity Breakfast, now going on at Sal's Cafe in Somersport.
You're late.
If you're listening on Saturday, but if you're Sunday afternoon, you're right. We'll have it next year on a Saturday, 9:30. Anyway, okay. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and
same to you, Seth. Same to you. Thanks a lot. Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity, the website libertyandprosperity.com. It is Talk with a Purpose, Saturdays 9 till noon, WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.